Playback TV this Friday. It is going down. We have the San Antonio Spurs facing against the Portland Trail Blazers, which means we have a matchup between the number one overall pick and Victor Wembanyama and the number two overall pick is Scoot Henderson. So make sure to tune in. It should be a fun one. I will be talking about the game itself alongside other topics revolving basketball as a whole. So make sure to tune in. I will leave the link in the description. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. This is another edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your one and only Nick Andre. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, man. I have a very special guest with me. He's back, y'all. You know, we locked in this past summer with a few episodes. And with the W offseason getting ready to unfold, I had to bring it back. I got the one and only, the opinionated MJ, bro. What's going on with you, dog?
Yes, sir. Nothing much, man. What's good? What's good with you?
Man, nothing much, man. Glad to have you back on. But so we're going to dive into a lot of the WNBA free agency, which has been going down. This is just a disclaimer as well for everybody listening, because I'm sure everybody like us, you know, we've been waiting for a lot of stuff to go down, and it's been crickets recently. But I'm going to just let y'all know here, it is Tuesday night. We are recording this. This episode will be out Thursday. So if anything goes down between now and Thursday, right, and y'all hear us talk and y'all say, oh, this happened, this happened, trust me, we've been waiting for stuff to go down. Nothing has really went down. I mean, there's been some news, but no, like, really big breaking news that's went down. So if anything goes down between now and Thursday, please don't come at us. I'm just going to let that be known now. But besides that, we're going to get into a lot of W talk as free agency goes down. But first, I got to talk to my guy about some hoops that happen on the men's side, because we talk a lot about the W, but we don't really get a chance to talk about the NBA a little bit. So Monday night was a historic day for the NBA. It was the 18th anniversary of the great Kobe Bean Bryant's 81-point performance against the Toronto Raptors. And a lot of the guys who idolized Kobe in today's basketball made sure to deliver on this historic day. Joel Embiid had 70 in a win against the Spurs. Karl Anthony Towns had 62, but unfortunately, the Minnesota Timberwolves lost to the Charlotte Hornets. Giannis had a triple-double. KD had 43 in a game winner against Chicago. So my first question to you is, man, what were your thoughts on Monday night's action in the NBA?
I was just blown away by Joel Embiid dropping 70, because it's a big man. You know what I mean? And you would think that an explosive guard like a Steph, Dame, Devin Booker, the people who have scored in bunches like that, would be the one that would do something like that. You know what I mean? But for him to do it, and then it seems like, I don't know, Karl Anthony Towns got a bug in his ear or something, like, yeah, you know, Joel Embiid dropped 70, right? And he was like, oh, well, you know what, damn it.
That's crazy. I wonder if he knew what was going down, because they were playing like kind of at the same time. So I wonder if he kind of knew like what was going on in Philly.
He probably heard about it. Like, man, Embiid got 34 at the half or something like that.
Yeah, 44. It's crazy.
I mean, but Embiid had like 34.
Embiid had 34. Cat had 44 at the half. In Charlotte. Yeah.
But then lost.
Yeah, then lost.
And then, crazy. Then the Hornets made a trade. It was like, yeah, we beat you. Yeah, all right, bye. Bye, Terry. Thank you, bye.
No, that was crazy. It's crazy, too, because I was I didn't watch the whole Hornets-Timberwolves game. So NBA TV, you know, everybody who watches NBA TV, like, they'll show, like, NBA glimpses TV of some games. Yeah, shout out to NBA TV. Shout out to the great Candace Parker, Jamal Crawford, and those people who are out there doing great work for them. So they'll show, like, some small glimpses of the games. And you know, everybody was on watch after Embiid had scored 70. Everybody was on watch for Cat to see if he was going to match that. So they had the Timberwolves game on live on NBA TV. And I was watching, I'm like, yo, he's got like 60, and the game is 113-112 Minnesota up. And I'm like, yo, you're only up a point, bro. And you had 60, dog. Like, what is going on here? I'm like, what in the world? And I mean, I guess you can't really say nothing, because the Sixers only won by 10. With Embiid scoring 70, but I'll be real, yeah. man. If you have a type of game like that, you got to finish strong, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got to win strong. The game, bro. Because exactly. when Devin Booker dropped that, what was it? Like, was it 70 against yeah. Boston?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, yeah, but you lost.
Yeah, you know. But I mean? Also, like, I'll say this. But that's different, though. The only reason why I say it was different because that Suns team wasn't necessarily good. The T-Wolves are the number one seed in the West.
Yeah,
and you're going up against.
Well, you that's a really great point. Now that
exactly.
Now that I think about it.
Exactly. And you're going up against, you know, the Charlotte. Hornets. Like the Hornets, they're a talented team, but let's be real, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, let's just call it what it is. So
agreed.
for me to see the end of that game, I was like, dang, bro. Like, so even if you were to drop 70, it wouldn't mean anything. You know, like I'm not even trying to disrespect Cat, you know, because I mean, even with the loss, it was still a great performance.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you have a game like that, you got to capitalize with the win. It's like, for instance, you know, it's like we talked about Kobe's 81. Like, how would we view Kobe's 81 if it was a loss?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, we wouldn't
celebrate it. It wouldn't
exactly.
Be it would be something that the haters would use because they already, you know, I've had debates with people who are like, yeah, well, Kobe dropped 50 and 60, but I bet he didn't shoot 50%. Even with my own boy, like one of my boys said that before. And I went back and I'm like, man, Kobe. And then I look, 54%, 62 or something like that percent. Like looking at the Dallas game, looking at all of the games where he had those high scoring games, like 45 or more, is like he actually was efficient. It was like maybe
was.
At least the over 50 games. It was almost like two of the games where he wasn't as efficient, like over 50%. If I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong. People don't judge me. But, yeah, like, he was very efficient in the games where he scored 50 points. You know what I mean?
Or exactly. More, so. Especially in the prime of his career. But I feel like the reason why people say that is because in his last game when he dropped 60, he shot 22 of 50, mm-hmm. which was terrible. But he's 37 years old in his last right. game. And I'll be real. For me, personally, I don't even care. I was just happy to be watching him in his last game. Like, I didn't really care too. About the efficiency. So,
but
you know how people are. You know, people love efficiency. People love to see people shoot a higher percentage. I mean, which is normal. But right. I'll say this, man. Embiid, I've been saying it for a while, man. Embiid, you know, I think Jokic has the crown as the best big and the best player in the game. But when it comes down to, like, the full offensive package, yeah. I don't think anybody's touching Joel Embiid. You know, he's 7 feet and moves like a guard, like, which is just incredible. Like, the way that he's able to get to his spots in the mid-range, the way he's able to play in the post, the way he's able to space it for knockdown three-point shots is just incredible. And that had to have been Victor Wembanyama's first welcome to the NBA moment, if he had anything. So I can't wait for him, maybe some years from now, have a sit-down with somebody and tell people, like, yo, like, what was your first, like, welcome to the NBA moment that he noted, and that he talks about that Joel Embiid 70 piece that he got.
Yeah, and he looked at Wimby and was like, he prayed, sent a prayer up to God, like, hey, amen, and then proceeded to show why he is arguably the MVP of the league, man. Like, in his mid-range game is getting even better, bro. It's like, I didn't think that Embiid, I thought he was, I mean, maybe, you know, having Doc. It to me, it elevated him.
I agree.
He got Doc Rivers.
I agree.
And, you know, I'm like, this is the best Joel Embiid we've seen. And, you know, all of a sudden, boom, he went MVP. But then, you know, he coasted. Like, you know, of course, when we see players get to a certain level, it's like we just get used to it. Like, we're used to Jokic doing 30, 10, and 10. Like, it's, you know, he's basically in that LeBron space now. Like, oh, yeah, that's just Nikola Jokic. Whatever. But Embiid continues to impress, especially with the 70-point game, because it's just like it came out of nowhere. And then as a big man, people keep trying to compare him to like Shaq or even Hakeem, but it's just like, man, he's making a name for himself to the
point. I think he's in his own lane at this point.
Yeah, like he's incomparable right now. Like you can't really attach him to anyone else. He's himself because he can go on the block. He can go mid-range and shoot from the nail. He can go on the wings and shoot from three at the top, shoot from three, line drive. Like, he can go to the hole. He has the passing ability, which is, I noticed, something that he was working on probably 3-4 years ago, especially when Ben Simmons was there. That was the thing. Like, he would get in the post. They would feed him the ball, and he would, like, have to kick it back out because all of the defenses would just – basically lay on him, you know what I mean, and try to make it where it was they made it hard for him to have a passing lane out. So he would hurry. He started to hurry up with that. So it's, you can't guard him anymore because you've basically put him in a position where he's had to learn all of his counters, and now he has them, and he's turned them all into strengths. It's not, I can't call a weakness in his game. I mean, what? He's not, what? Who can I say on a defensive end? I mean, but when he needs to play defense, he does it. When he plays against Giannis.
He's definitely elevated his defenses. I mean, especially last year, he won MVP.
Yeah, it's just like when he plays against Giannis, when he plays against Wemby, when he plays against Jokic, like the games he knows he has to show up for, get up for, and prove and show himself on that end, he shows up. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know what to say about him. Like, go ahead, give him the MVP award because he's going to win it back to back. I just hope he stays healthy enough. Like,
that's,
I don't
know how that, many games yeah, and that's there. And that's the biggest thing too, because the NBA now has its rules where you have to play about 65 games or so. So that's the thing as well, man. And I think that's, I feel like, you know, that rule is a good thing and a bad thing, because like, let's say for instance, like you dropped or you average like 34, 35 a game, and like you're just killing the league and scoring, but you only played 63, 64 games. So like, oh snap, you're not eligible for the MVP, even though you had these monster performances, because you didn't play the maximum games that we needed you to. So it just sucks, man. And I feel like that's why for me, it's like there's so many, like it's just multiple MVPs in my opinion. That's why it's just so hard for me to pick one, because you got Embiid, of course you got the Joker. Giannis is always going to be in that conversation just because he's just so great. Which, by the way, I really want to see what Milwaukee does next after they just fired their coach. You got SGA out in OKC. You got Ant-Man also in Minnesota. So it's like there's been a lot. Oh yeah, Jason Tatum in Boston. So there's just so many dynamic players to me in the NBA right now. I really can't choose who I think is like a clear cut favorite for MVP.
Yeah, me either. Right now, not right now. I can't. I mean, I would go with Embiid at this very second, but yeah, it's, you know, it's January. It's the dog days of the NBA. And
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so we'll see what happens like after All-Star break, because that's when.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. After All-Star break, that's when it's going to really like intensify as far as those MVP debates.
Yeah. Sure. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Like, I can't wait. And God, please, basketball guys, anyway, please. Bless my Detroit Pistons, because we suck. We suck.
Oh man. Yeah, it's been one hell of a year for the Detroit Pistons. I don't even know what to say about them, to be honest. I'm trying to avoid talking about them.
I will throw this in the universe. We could lose the rest of the games if the Lions win the Super Bowl. I'll take that.
I mean, that'll make up for the heartache that all the Detroit fans in Michigan have to go through.
Heartache?
That could help.
We talking about generations, bro. Like, it's going to be 70 and 80-year-olds out there like, yeah, we won the Super Bowl. They'll be out here.
Nah, I get that. Nah, that's funny, man. But shout out to Embiid. Shout out to Cat for having some monster performances, man. You know, it was definitely a great night for the NBA. One of the best nights I've probably seen in a long time, man. And just keep it going, man. You know, I feel like we're in the best era when it comes to offense in the NBA. We got a lot of talented scorers, man. And, you know, I'm just excited to see what they do next. But let's go ahead and transition into the women's side, man. We got to talk about the WNBA free agency that took place. First and foremost, before we dive into a shout out to Miss Christina Williams, who I've been getting a lot of updates from. You've been doing an incredible job. I want to make sure that you get your flowers for everything that you do, man, and all your contributions to covering women's basketball, because I know there'd be a lot of people that don't want to give her the credit. So, Christina, if you hear this, I just want to let you know that I appreciate you, and thank you so much for all the updates and everything. And I can't wait to see, you know, what she's able to do next. But
same. I've always called her the woman of the year, because she silently ascends. You know what I mean? Like, she just keeps rising. She keeps hitting milestones, getting things done. Facts. And being, she's like the woman behind the curtain, but also in front of it, but also in control of it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a fact.
It's just like, all right, you don't know.
And it's not just her either. You know, it's Ari Chambers. It's a few other ones too. You know, shout out to all the women doing the thing, you know, covering the W, man. You know, I know I just want to make sure that they get highlighted. You know, if people don't want to, if people want to downplay what their contributions are to women's basketball, I just want to make sure that I give them their flowers that they deserve. But definitely, let's talk about a former champion and a two-time MVP, one of the greats, or one of my personal favorite players in the W, even though she's had, you know, her issues the past few years, Elena Delladon. There's some rumors that she could be gone from the Washington Mystics. Now, her resume being there in Washington, she was a four-time All-Star, won an MVP, won a WNBA championship in 2019. The past few years, the biggest thing for EDD has been health. I want to say, did she miss the whole bubble year? I think she did miss the whole bubble year. And she even came back last year. She said that she was ready to go, but she still missed some time. Even though, I mean, I'll be real, she still had a pretty good season last year. Led the Mystics to the playoffs before they lost to the Liberty. So what are your thoughts on the end of a run for Elena Delladon being in Washington? Because I know before we actually recorded, you know, you said you got a lot you got to say, man. So I'm going to give the floor to you.
I just got chaos for you.
Let's do it.
Well, as far as EDD in Washington, I'm shocked because, like, it seems like whenever she's healthy, she's that team is a player. You know what I mean? Like, I picked them last year as a top four team, as a top four seed. You know what I mean? Definitely top five, too, if I'm not mistaken. But I think it was top four because I did not believe, or I didn't see Connecticut coming minus Breonna Jones. I didn't see that. And then losing Jonquel Jones, I didn't see Connecticut coming. And I had the Mystics as a top four, the Mystics as a team that can bother the Aces, the Mystics, you know what I mean? Just because of her. But we all know, you know, depending on her health, that team goes as her health goes. But it's, I mean, I still feel the same way now. Like, okay, wherever she ends up going, like, they're going to be a major player because of her. But hopefully she goes somewhere where she can rest and not necessarily have to be hurt, but she can just maybe sit some games out, you know, like play 2-3 games, sit a game. You know what I mean? Just to make sure and ensure that she's healthy. I'm not sure what her health situation is right now, but
right,
I just want to see her healthy and basically back competing. And I, you know, I was of the belief that they would beat New York because Breonna Stewart is like, they're like rivals, you know what I mean? And she's the one that gives Breonna a problem. Like, Breonna didn't have issues.
They have given us some good matches, now that you say that. They've given us some great matches. I mean, from meeting in the finals in 2018, and then they've had other playoff battles. Man, EDD and Stewie have given us some great battles.
Yes, and they have. And it's, you know, I thought that they were going to beat New York. I thought that they were going to surprise New York. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. EDD, EDD versus Breonna. Oh, yeah, she got her. You know, I was just sold. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna sneak them. But they didn't end up doing it. And she just didn't look like herself. And that's really the reason why, because she was breaking a lot of shots that normally she makes. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen EDD be dynamic, and seeing her in this past playoff was just like, something's wrong. Something is, you know, she might not be fully healthy, or, you know, it just didn't look right seeing her like that, because she's just too dynamic. Like, I've seen her make crazy trick shots over her career, or just shots that are just, what is it? What do they call it? Like the Kobe type of shots, like the,
facts.
Like, she's just fading and doing all that. I forget the actual verbiage for it, but you know what I mean? Like, just high level shots, and nobody else can really do that type of thing. And I've seen her do it. It's a very select
her shot. Maybe
her, Breonna, Maya Moore, like the type of shots that she was taking in the past. You know what I mean? And right. I was just of the belief that she would show up, and it just didn't happen this time. I don't know if she's a step slower, or her lift wasn't right, or, you know, whatever. I don't know what it was, but I still believe in her, and I'm really looking forward to where she goes, because that's still going to be a major player.
Yeah. So before I go, so this is some breaking news that's going on in the middle of the episode. We're going back to the men's side, the NBA. So Doc Rivers has just accepted the position as the next Milwaukee Bucks head coach. Yep.
What?
I'm watching it right now above me on my screen on TNT. It's crazy.
Yo, they're showing it on TNT right now, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm on Bleacher Report. Wow.
It's crazy.
On Game Break, okay. Wow.
It was just announced, like, literally, like, as we were talking. I was actually going to cut you off, but I was like, nah, let me go ahead and let him talk for a little bit. And then And then once he's finished, I'll go and break the news.
That's a Giannis move, man. That's got to be a Giannis
gotta
move.
Gotta be. Yeah,
and I mean, think they should have kept Terry Stotts too.
I'll be honest. I felt like they could have kept Bud a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Coach Bud a little bit longer, and then see if they could possibly find some options for another coach. But that's neither here nor there. But back to Elena, man. It seemed like it's been a real struggle for her to really get things going after that championship year.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, she ended up missing a lot of time. She ended up missing like a full season. That whole Elena Deladon, Tina Charles experience didn't work out the way that we wanted to. And it was crazy too, because Tina Charles balled out in her like few years in Washington, which was crazy. But and like I said, you know, I thought EDD actually had a pretty solid year last year. I mean, obviously it's not up to Elena Deladon caliber like we've seen in the past, whether it's with Chicago or even that championship year with the Mystics. But for her to be able to still play a major factor in them getting to the playoffs, because I'll be real, it's like I say, even last year, you know, I had them as a top four seed right there behind the Aces, the Liberty, and the Connecticut Sun. And they, especially in that game two against New York, like they gave them major problems. And I don't know, I feel like if Elena Deladon does decide, or if Elena Deladon does end up walking away and going to a new team, I just feel like maybe it may be time for the Mystics to just rebuild, because also Natasha Cloud is an unrestricted free agent as well. So she may be out as well. So if you lose those two crucial pieces, it may be time to rebuild and possibly, you know, start new. Obviously, you still got Shakira Austin, who is still young, and she may be able to take the keys. You know, she missed a good portion of last year with the injury. So with her coming back healthy this upcoming season, you know, that may be big for her and for her to be able to accept that role as a new cornerstone of the franchise. So I'm really excited to see what Washington does, but I have a question for you. So there's been rumors about her possibly going to the Phoenix Mercury. Mm. I'm just being honest.
EDD?
Yeah. It's rumors. I don't know if it's actually gonna happen. It's rumors, but if it is true, I'll be real. I'm not a fan of it, but I want to get your thoughts on it.
I mean, I don't know. I did the pod with Snap and Becky with the Six Pod crew the other day, and they were mainly, Snap was adamant about like EDD's not going to go somewhere where she has to play center. So
I can see that. Yeah, I can agree.
I as far as playing next to Brittany Griner, I can see it. You know what I mean? And that would be, I mean, who is Phoenix giving up? What's the salary cap look like? Like, is it, do they have the room to just bring EDD in? Like, just, What are they gonna send out? Because it's not BG for sure. Because she's not core. No, she's the unrestricted. But I mean, you know, nobody's really fine to Phoenix right now. But if she went to Phoenix, I mean, I'm guessing what, Meg Gustafson goes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, because she played well last year for Phoenix.
But then again, I think
I know it's Elena Deladon. Like, I get it. I know it's Elena Deladon, but you also got to look at it like, you know, she is aging and she has had, you know, a lot of injury history over the past few years. So, yeah. And on top of that, I mean, Phoenix has already got age on them anyway. You know, BG's up there in age. Obviously, DT. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they may got some good, like a few pieces. Like, I don't know if Makaya Onyewunne could possibly be included in that trade as well. So I mean, there are some key assets that the Mercury could provide to be able to make that move happen. But I just don't really see what it looks like long term for EDD in Phoenix. You know, I mean, obviously, yeah, she could be there for a good season. But even if she is there for a good season, you know, her DT and BG, like, you know, I think the biggest thing that I would see is health. You know what I'm saying? I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. So obviously, if this was like 8-9 years ago, oh yeah, this is a monster. Like, this is just like, oh yeah, there's probably nobody that's even going to compete with this team. But now in 2024, I'm not really too high on it personally.
I feel like if EDD goes with Brittany, that's going to be like the most unguardable, like, big set of bigs that you can have. That'll be like prime Tim Duncan and prime, well, hold on, let me chill. prime Tim Duncan and David Robinson. No, it won't be prime Tim and David, but they're able to stretch the floor, because to me, Brittany Griner is amazing, in pick and pop on the elbows. You know what I mean? Like, she's, you can't guard her. And then you put EDD out there with her. Like, so what are you going to do? Put EDD opposite elbow. You can run all types of sets with that type of lineup. You just need the right point guard. That's, and you know, DT, okay, cool, but it might be time to let somebody else come in and start. And maybe that would be like a Jordan Canada. Let me start the chaos. You know what I mean? Like, let somebody come in and actually be able to be a threat, having like a double screen from an EDD and a BG. Like, how do you defend that? You know what I mean? Double screen, EDD on one side, BG on the other side. You choose whichever way you're going, and then all of a sudden, coming off of the screen, you got to decide who you're going to guard off the pop. And then BG can roll to just, you know, kind of ease things on EDD. But even EDD can roll and not have to just go to the rim and have to deal with the physicality. You know what I mean? Because she can, you know, the EDD I'm used to seeing is the one that can just get the ball off the pop and still do like a fader or just a trick shot. Or just, you know what I mean? Like, I still see her.
Once she gets to her spots in the mid-range.
Yeah, like I'm stuck in primal EDD mode in my mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
just, that's the thing, because, I mean, she can still show flashes of that. And we saw exactly. It last year.
Yeah, we did. And it's just like, to put her in that kind of, man, yeah, I want to see it. Plus, Phoenix has a knack for, at least historically, And I'm gonna jump to the NBA side of it, but we seen what happened when Shaq went there. We seen what happened when Grant Hill went there. We seen what happened when, you know what I mean? We seen what happened when Steve Nash left. Like, they got like a machine or something over there that's like, yeah, come step into the fountain of youth. Come over here. Yeah, come get in right. And they just help people health wise. So I don't know if it's something over there, if it's trainers. I'm not sure because I haven't been following the trainers for. The Suns anyway, but I'm not sure if they are connected to the Mercury or anything, but if it's just the air is just the sun or whatever over there, the heat, you know what I mean? You don't have to deal with your body aching and paining from the cold. Like, right. I mean, I can see it. You know what I mean? So I think that's a good look. It's a good look. Like, Phoenix might not be the popular place, you know, right now, but her over there with BG? Yeah. Yeah, that's gonna be crazy, bro. That's chaos. And I didn't even introduce that. Who did that come from? What source?
I honestly can't even remember where it came from. I just remember seeing it on my timeline, and I saw some reporter reported. I don't know exactly who it was. I should have did my sources, but I mean, it's, I don't know. Like, I guess I just look at Phoenix like it's just time to rebuild. Like, I've been ready for them to rebuild for a while. And I get it. You know, I know that DT is still there, and obviously when you got a player like DT, you still want to try to do your best to compete. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just not moving me. But I also saw, I don't know if this was like just a source or just a fan. I saw somebody say, oh, she should go to the Aces. Come on, y'all. Like, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Come on. Like, well, we can't keep doing this, man. And where is she gonna fit? You know what I mean? Where is she gonna fit? And I'll be real. I mean, you know, that was one of the Aces' weak points throughout the season was the contribution from the second unit. Yeah. So if EDD was able to say, hey, you know, I could sacrifice to come off the bench and play behind Asia Wilson, then maybe so. But I still think even though EDD's been through a lot, I still think that she could be a valuable starter in this league personally. Yeah. I would like Seattle.
Man,
Seattle, you're with Jewel?
You going where my chaos is at.
Jewel? Come on, man.
Yeah, with Jewel.
I think that would be good.
Man, I got chaos for Seattle, man, because and it didn't actually come from me. It was somebody on Reddit a few times, but it's actually from Twitter. It's just somebody posted it to Reddit. Like, I wasn't following that person until then, but they were just saying Skyler and NECA to Seattle.
I saw something like that too.
Yeah, it's like, bro, hey. What? Like,
that's a problem, yeah. Dog.
That's and a super
Skyler problem. And Jewel in the backcourt.
Yeah,
because I feel like even though Jewel was like one of the best scorers in the W last year, and then of course with her winning the All Star MVP last year, I still feel like she was underrated a little bit last year. I feel like she didn't really get the proper recognition that she deserved because she was killing it last year. And I know that Seattle, they were obviously in the transition period, you know, they just lost Sue Bird to retirement. You know, Stewie obviously goes to New York, but Jewel was still hooping all last year.
Right.
And yeah, that's the thing.
I just think I agree with that because you know, she was on a losing team or whatever. They were horrible like the first 5-10 games. It absolutely horrible. But like after that, they started to show signs like and kind of get some footing, especially with all of the rookies and stuff that they got over there. And they were starting to like, you know, and then we seen Ezzy step up. I did not expect Ezzy to come from out of nowhere the way.
Yeah, Ezzy played well. She deserved an all-star spot. I will give her that. She definitely deserved that.
Yeah, and she
not
was
even
like,
her, but you still had like Sammy Whitcomb as well. Jordan Horston was a rookie coming in. She had a pretty solid year.
And Sammy with the magic gum.
Yeah, that was wild. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was wild. She should have never put that gum back in her mouth. I'm sorry. That was wild.
She said, "No, I can't let this gum be on the floor. I can't let this happen."
That was crazy.
Yeah, but man, anybody go over there with Jewel, especially after she had the season that she had in probably seeing like, you know, okay, this is what I can do by myself. This is what I'm capable of. People can see what I'm capable of after having a bad season the season before with Breonna Stewart, Sue Bird, everybody still over there. You know what I mean? Like she was kind of inconsistent and, you know, kind of sometimes it just seemed like she couldn't find her footing. But I think if you have Skylar come over there, you have NECA come over there, or if EDD went over there, you know what I mean? It's like if EDD went there, you have her and she can be the main focus. She's the number one option. Nice. Even if Skylar and NECA goes over there, she will still remain the main option. But it's hard to, like, looking at it now, pair her with like a Breonna Stewart, who should be the number one option, to pair her with any other player that's a number one option. Like you put her over there with Skylar. Skylar can teach her, tell her this and that. You know, she can break down some wisdom and give it to her. You put her over there with EDD. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, that's like pick and roll madness, pick and pop. You know what I mean? And then you can't double team and load up on Jewel. And even if you did, because we've seen what happened when they did that anyway. She was still dropping 30 balls, 40 balls. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just think that the upside for Seattle, if they get somebody, is crazy high. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on that fact.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Especially if it's EDD.
Nah, for sure. Well, you had already mentioned Jordan Canada. Let's go ahead and talk about her now because she may be on the move as well, which personally I hate because Jordan Canada has really been able to find herself. Obviously, you know, her being backup for Sue Bird in those years in Seattle, you know, she was able to shine as well in that second unit. But now, you know, transitioning to L.A., her being that full-time starting point guard, she was just able to shine. You know, she had a couple game winners. She had some monster performances. You know, obviously, we know what she was able to do to provide defensively. And she was going back and forth with Satu Sabally as far as the most improved player. That was a debate all year. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Jordan Canada heading to this free agency? And where do you possibly see her landing? I mean, obviously you said Seattle, but is there any other destination?
I mean, she left Seattle, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I don't know that she goes back. I'm not sure. I don't know why she left. I would have to dig in and kind of figure out if it's some like politics or something behind it. But I mean, I won't close the door on that. But I would like to see Jordan Canada go to like Atlanta.
Yeah, you read my mind.
Yeah, man. Like, because Atlanta needs a point guard. And she is, bro, from what we've seen this year. Yeah, she's amazing and would perfectly fit and won't have to necessarily be the primary facilitator. I don't know, because I'm a big Alicia Gray fan, and I just her time in Dallas, it made me see like the pieces of her that is able to facilitate and kind of monitor things on the floor if she needed to. But you know, we seen more of a scoring Alicia Gray this year, but you put Jordan Canada over there with Alicia, with Ryan Howard, like, yeah, please.
Cheyenne Parker.
Yeah.
You got, who's coming off the bench for them? Haley Jones. Nia Coffey. Nia Coffey's a free agent, but if she does go back.
Like, yep, keep Nia Coffey. Keep Monique Billings.
I would do what I can to keep them.
If I'm not mistaken, I was paying attention to, like, overseas ball at one point. And I'm not sure if Ari McDonald got hurt. I forget, but regardless, she's really short. She's like what, like 5'8" or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Something maybe like 6 feet. She's like short. So they need a Jordan Canada build type of point guard, and then can keep McDonald coming off the bench and backing her up or whatnot. And
you know
and,
how crazy that would be defensively? Like, man, you gotta deal with Jordan Canada to start the game, then Ari gonna check in. You gotta deal with her too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I mean I can't even think of another team that I would like to see her on, because you know, I would say something like Dallas, but it's like Arike is like so explosive with what she does. It's like, just let her have whatever's over there right now. And you know, I was thinking maybe Washington, but who knows what Washington's going to turn into. Like, I wouldn't want Jordan Canada to go over there.
That's true, yeah.
It's not, I mean, just Shakira Austin. That's it for her. Like, they could probably, like, really explode as a duo, but they'll still need another piece to really compete. You know what I mean? True. It'll just be a headline, and then when the playoffs come, it's just be like, ah, all right, Aces.
What do you think what do you think about Connecticut? Because I mean, they do have Natisha Heidemann, so I would want to know what would be next for her. Because if you ask me, I'm starting.
It depends on what happens with what. Okay, so what do you think about Breonna Jones with her being court but free, and does she want to leave? I think I read something that says she want to stay though. I'm not sure, but
if I'm her, I'm staying personally.
Yeah,
because who knows where that Connecticut team would have been if she was healthy throughout last year.
Man,
you gotta think like they, and I know they ended up losing to the Liberty, but y'all people forget what they did in game one,
right?
And that was obviously with DeWanna going off, AT obviously shining. If you have Bree Jones, especially coming off the bench,
yeah,
that could be,
man,
a huge difference,
man. And I didn't expect them to be what they were without her, you know what I mean? So,
exactly,
if you bring that whole team back and then you have Breonna Jones and you know what the capabilities are, and she'll be able to ease back into the game coming off of her injury as well with that team. You know what I mean? So, and then you add Jordan Canada to that. Ooh, instead of Natisha, because Natisha is a threat to shoot.
Yeah.
She's not really
dynamic playmaking type.
Yeah, she's not Jordan Canada. And then that frees up Alyssa Thomas a little bit more too. Like, suddenly she becomes, like, you don't know who's the primary ball handler all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Like, it's pick your poison. Like, whose game planning are we going to stop? You know what I mean? So,
honestly just made me think, man. The Suns going to have to go find a new wing too, because Tip Hayes is gone. She retired. So.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh,
I wonder who's going to fill in that spot.
That's
now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, we got to see, man, because is Jordan court or like.
I think, no, yeah.
She requested.
I think she's court. Yeah, I think she's court.
So she's under contract. So so it's something's got to come back.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the thing too about the whole core situation is that, you know, you can't just sign wherever you want to sign. You know, it's got to be, you know, almost like a trade package. You know.
Right.
So, but man, I'll be real, man. Wherever Jordan Canada goes, she's gonna shine. Like,
yeah,
there's no doubt about that. When it comes to Jordan Canada, she's clearly shown that she's a starting point guard of this league, and. I still think she could possibly blossom as an all-star caliber player. You know, who knows?
Maybe
she may never get there, but I think she definitely has a chance, especially with how she was able to play last year. And I know that the Sparks didn't make the playoffs, but her contribution, like, they don't, like, there's just certain moments that, you know, that they don't shine without Jordan Canada. Like, even hitting the game winner against the Indiana Fever, and then them going on that 6-game winning streak, you know, like, a lot of that does not happen without Jordan Canada, man. So,
right.
I think this past year with her being a most improved player candidate, it really increased her value a lot, and it really allowed a lot of W teams to really really see, you know, what she's capable of doing as a starting guard. But I'm excited about what next for her future. But let's talk about Miss Jonquil Jones, who just re-signed with the New York Liberty. I'm a fan of it personally.
Oh, she re-signed.
Yeah, she resigned. Yeah, it was just announced earlier. She resigned with the New York Liberty. So I'm excited for it. You know, finally you can keep that core group together. Stewie, Jonquil, Sabrina, Benaja, Vandersloot, all of them. So
yeah,
what are your thoughts on that, man? Because, you know, she I think she started out a little rough in the beginning. I think she was still trying to find her rhythm with the team. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, obviously there's one basketball, you know, you still got to share the floor with Stewie, with Sabrina, with others. But like towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, like yeah. she showed us why she won that MVP a few years back. So talk about Jonquel re-signing with the Liberty.
That's news to me. And because I wasn't on social media for a few hours here today, but and I missed that one. But I was like believing that she might leave because I paid attention to her body language on the floor and you know, yeah. she had her hands up a lot, like, you know, throw me the ball.
Especially in the finals.
Yeah, especially in the finals and I thought that was the problem in the finals. Like, they had to choose between which way they wanted to play. You were either going to play inside out, basically, or you were going to play, the runaround, get Breonna Stewart, get Sabrina free game. And it didn't work against the Aces, you know what I mean? And I thought, you know, Jonquel might be a threat to leave. I thought she might because I didn't know where she was going to go. But with the EDD news, with the, you know what I mean? And that, at one point I was thinking New York, but then, you know, like I said, Snap was like, nah, she's not going nowhere that doesn't have a center. She's not going to play center.
I was hearing a little bit of Chicago, and I wouldn't have been mad at that. I wouldn't have been mad at that.
You're talking about Jonquel.
Yeah, for Jonquel, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, with them hiring Teresa Weatherspoon as their next coach, then you got Kalia Copper, who was a champion as well. So, and then Marina Mabry, one of my personal favorites, Dana Evans, is there.
Right.
So, I'll be real. If that would have happened, I think that would have been great for Chicago.
Man, yeah, especially with KC, like pick and roll crazy. She already goes to the cup with reckless abandon. Like exactly. You give her Jonquel Jones, like so suddenly she can go with reckless abandon and be like boop and just drop it off. Like, man, yeah. And I just felt like New York needed to let Jonquel Jones get the Tierra McCowan type of touches. You know what I mean? That. Like,
yeah.
Because Tierra McCowan was looking really good in Dallas, just running down the court, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden she's like trailing and it's just like, oh, all of this is happening up, boop, and then throw it to her and then boom, Tierra McCowan for the score. Jonquel Jones is capable. And that made me think that she might potentially leave, but like you said, she resigned, so let's run it back. I think they will do it at least for one more season. That's my belief anyway, and I think if they lose again, then that will probably change. Jonquel will probably leave. Breonna will probably stay. But let's not jump to 2025 too fast. We just started 2024, so nice to see Jonquel's staying put.
I'll be real. Jonquel is still one of the best post players in the league. You can't even argue with it. There's no debate about it. Here's a report. It says that she intends to resign. So maybe it's not official. She intends to resign. So it may be, I don't know, it may be something different. It's almost like even last year, I remember Sloot had signed, or she was going to sign with Seattle and turned around and then went to New York. So it could be something like that.
Okay.
So intend. So it's not official. So there may be, it could be a possibility that she may explore options elsewhere. But if it is official, I'm personally a fan of running it back. Obviously, this formula worked. You know, they were able to get to the finals. And I feel like Jonquel was super, super important, you know, especially in those first few series against the Mystics and against the and against the Connecticut Sun. But I'll be real, man. You know, Jonquel, especially like late in the season, you know, during the playoffs, you know, she still showed us why, you know, she was a former MVP. And I do want to see what Sandy Brondello can do as far as allowing her to get more of a rhythm to begin the season, because you could tell, like, you know, and obviously, you know, there were some rumors, you know, that Jonquel wasn't in the best shape as well at the beginning of the year. And it took her a while to really get in shape. So if she does go into training camp in shape and, you know, she's ready to go, I would love to see how Sandy Brondello can continue to utilize her, continue to allow her to get touches in the post and everything. And just continue to just, you know, find ways to play in the pick and roll and play in the pick and pop, because Jonquel is super dynamic as a center offensively. You know, she's not even just a post player. She can space the floor and knock down shots. So, and that's what that, like, it's like when this team assembled, like, that's what we that's what we envision, like, what make them so dangerous is because of the dynamic and all the versatility. Obviously, you got Stewie, and obviously, you got Jonquil, you got Sabrina. So it's like, I would love to see how they could utilize her differently, you know, into this upcoming season. But as far as, you know, if it is official that she does decide to resign, I'm personally a fan of it.
I just think they could play inside out and feed Jonquil and then let Sabrina and Brianna roam. You know what I mean? Especially, like you said, if she comes into camp in shape, she comes into the season in shape and ready to go, as opposed to last season, really the last like couple seasons, to be honest. But she comes ready, like, go ahead and play through her. I would do that. And then that eases up things on them, and it also allows them to play more freely. I mean, because you're not going to double team Jonquil with Breonna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu on the court. You're just not going to do that. You know what I mean? So, like, it makes no sense to do that. So that will allow her to, like, cook immediately and always cook and make it where it's like, okay, they're going to play inside out, where you have to game plan against that. But then you're game planning against that, but Sabrina has the ability to facilitate and run the show. And then you still have Breonna Stewart, who is arguably one of the best defensive players in the league as well.
Right.
Just like Jonquil, and she's arguably an MVP as well. Is like her versus Aja every year. You know what I mean? So pick your poison.
Right. Honestly, it's just allowed me to just reflect back on the playoffs. And like, Jonquil was a huge piece, you know, as far as them getting to the finals. Because people probably forget, but I mean, obviously Breonna Stewart won the MVP, but she didn't play at her best throughout most of the playoffs. I mean, she did have her shining moments, but I'm thinking about that Connecticut series. Like, that Connecticut series was really mostly Jonquil and Benaja Laney really leading the way, because Benaja balled out in that series as well. Right. So obviously, you know, I think what it is that people have to understand the true value of Jonquil, because without her presence, you know, on both ends of the floor, you know, this Liberty team is not as good as, you know, as they may be. But let's go and transition into another solid big man that I like. Where is Kalani Brown going? Because there was also some reports that came out today. There were some reports today. The Sparks are interested, the Aces, the Seattle Storm, and the Atlanta Dream that are interested. And then, of course, the Dallas Wings as well. If you ask me, I think if you're the Dallas Wings, I think you got to find a way to keep her, especially now with the Waqweer, who just announced that she's not going to play in the 2024 season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Kalani was incredible last year for Dallas, you know, especially when, you know, when Big T was out, you know, with her being able to step up, you know, and be that starting center for them. She played terrific on both ends, you know, being physical, imposing her will inside, you know, having great post presence. If you ask me, Dallas has to find a way to keep her, man. So talk about Kalani for a little bit.
Kalani was my sixth player of the year, if I'm not mistaken, because we do something on the six pod where I think we broke down like the top, was it the six players? And it was like Kalani and Meg were, Meg Gustafson, to be clear, were the top two efficiency-wise, like the plus minuses, or it might have been just the PER rating, the player efficiency rating. And Kalani was number one, though, if I'm not mistaken. And for her to do that coming off the bench, especially, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have the luxury of having Arike, Satu, and like Tierra, Natasha on the floor with you at all times when you're coming in the game. And for you to be able to come in and still do what you do, you know, with whatever unit is out there, and they kind of don't win really without you coming in doing what you do, that means you have value. You know what I mean? So a lot of people sleep on it, but, you know, after the season, of course, like you said, everybody's interested right now. Oh my God, the Aces! That would be crazy. Just like the Aces.
Honestly, I want to say. I saw some rumors about Elena Coast possibly being gone too. So,
ooh,
if she's gone, and I know that she didn't play a lot of, I know that she didn't have a lot of playing time, you know, throughout the season. But Kalani could be a great backup, or she could possibly start next to Aja, depending on what happens.
Man,
who knows?
If I don't know. Aces got Kalani, man. I think they're trying to build a dynasty anyway. I think they're going to be the third unless Seattle does.
I think they are a dynasty. I ain't gonna lie.
I mean, yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. I just, you know, it takes a certain amount of championships.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. I get that.
And I think they got one more to get before it's like, oh, it's a dynasty, because they're going to get, as long as they keep that core together, like seeing Chelsea, let me not switch subjects. Kalani Brown is, she's valuable. And I mean, yeah, Dallas would be smart to keep her. I would not mind seeing her. I think I said in the past, like over this past week, like Chicago, because we haven't seen Isabel Harrison play for Chicago. And they might just be like, you know, well, we'll just go in this direction and we'll send Izzy. And like I said before, you know, shout out to Izzy. I don't hate you or nothing. I'm actually a big fan of you and your game. I loved you in Dallas. I thought that they just were log jam at the big position. And they were, because we've seen what Kayla Thornton was doing in New York. And
yeah,
still don't sleep on her now, people, because she's a hustler.
Oh yeah, easily.
But yeah, Kalani Brown, like, going somewhere and might be able to, like, okay, so let's say she goes to Washington with Shakira Austin, and suddenly nice. Enhances, like, elevates her game to a 15 point per game. You know what I mean? And right. Playing alongside Shakira Austin as well, and then the Jordan Canada thing happens too. Like Jordan Canada, Kalani Brown, Shakira Austin. What type of team is that? You know what I mean? Like that with Ariel.
I don't know. I don't know where they. I don't know where they finish, but I think that's a playoff team.
Yeah.
Like maybe not like top four or five, but I could see them possibly being like six, seven, eight slot, yeah. Whatever, something like that.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing where she goes as well, and maybe it's Seattle. Who knows?
Seattle has a golden opportunity, man.
Man, Seattle
opportunity to get some key pieces, man.
Seattle is chaos. That's the chaos of the chaos, offseason. Man. Yeah,
going to Seattle.
Other than Caitlin Clark going to, you know what I mean? She going to my Fever, but yeah, she's going to Indy with Aaliyah Boston. But I want to see what's going to happen with Seattle. I do, and Kalani Brown would be nice anywhere, but I think she would be nice over there, especially because there's a piece of me that can see Ezzy playing a three based upon her, like how she elevated her game this season. I can see her playing a three with her being able to like start stretching the floor and not being a threat to shoot. And I know it sounds crazy. It's like, oh, Ezzy playing a three, but hey, the leagues are going in that direction. You know what I mean? Basketball is going in that direction. It's skill-based. And it's not really positional basketball anymore. So I could see Kalani Brown over there, and I wouldn't want her sitting. I don't think there's anybody over there other than Ezzy that can have her coming off the bench. And I would just start them together. Why not? You know what I mean?
That could be nice. I mean, the Sparks are also in this conversation as well. I mean, maybe if she was a backup big, but just me personally, and I may be wrong, I personally see the Sparks getting Cameron Brink in the draft. So if they do acquire Cameron Brink, then clearly that's going to be your starting center. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So if she's cool with being a backup big, you know, which Kalani Brown did thrive, and you know, in Dallas being right behind Big T when she was healthy, that could be a good move as well, possibly.
Yeah, it could. And Cameron Brink in LA?
I think it's going to happen. I think it is. But who knows? I mean, because I'll be real. Paige Beggers has been cooking recently, so she might surpass Cameron Brink, you know, as far as that second slot, as far as that second draft pick. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It could go either way, honestly. But if I'm LA personally, I want to get Cameron Brink.
Man, with the Samuelson sisters and Lexi Brown still over there, my favorite. Mm-hmm. And what? Is De'Erica Hamby still under contract over there?
Yeah, she's still over there. Yeah.
Oh man,
that's a solid, I'm telling you, man, that's a solid team. That's a defensive team. That's why, personally, for me personally, I don't want to see NECA go. I feel like at this point, NECA got to be in LA for life. At this point, that's just my opinion.
I agree with that. I didn't never think she would leave LA because her sister's in LA. She got,
and that's like, the thing too, because Shanae gonna go wherever NECA goes. So yeah, if you acquire NECA, you gotta find a package to get Shanae.
But where does Shanae do ESPN at? Isn't it in LA?
True, yeah, that is true.
ESPN LA. So I just would not. I didn't think the sisters would leave LA together. You know what I mean? Like I thought that they were just bonded for life. But I mean, Shanae also did just get married, so maybe it's. Yeah. Maybe she's about to go on her own path a little bit more with her husband and then just fulfilling her own destiny or, you know, her walk in life because of that. as well. And then NECA's like, okay, well, you know, my sister, she good. She doing what she doing. She taking care of herself. And, you know, she's doing that over there. So maybe the sister thing is about to run out. And maybe NECA's thinking of going somewhere else.
So, also, another thing, too, man. Like, Chyna just got to stay healthy. Like, she just got to stay healthy. Like, geez, man. I get so hyped whenever I see her, like, at the beginning of the year. And the next, you know, she gets sidelined. And that's the thing, too, because we saw how well De'Ara could emerge with that team.
Right.
And now that's, and now I'm thinking, like, man, like, she might have taken Chyna's minutes. You know, who knows? So, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. But that's, I mean, at least for me, I'm a big fan of NECA staying at L.A. I know that a lot of people, you know, there's rumors about her going to Seattle and other spots.
Me too.
And look, I'm not downplaying those possibilities because they definitely can happen. But if they acquire a player like Cameron Brink, and then you're just able to regroup, you know, with that young roster, then, of course, you still got the veteran talent around that team.
Yeah.
That team could be a sneak. That team could be a sleeper. Man. That team could really be a sleeper.
And again, don't sleep on Lexi Brown shooting 40.
That's another one who needs to stay healthy.
50% from three-point range like she did 2 years ago. Like,
If Lexi would have been healthy the whole year, her and Jordan Cannon in the backcourt, I think the Sparks would be in the playoffs.
Yeah. And been a problem. They would have been trying to surprise somebody. Like
that's the thing. Like they didn't have Lexi, and they didn't have Katie Lou because Katie was pregnant throughout that whole year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So you know, you're clearly missing two key snipers on that team.
Man, and they would have everything. Getting Cameron Brink in there, like getting Cameron, your defense is set. Like defense is set. Your offense is set. It's just about staying healthy and figuring out everybody's roles, everybody accepting the role and being happy in it and not, you know, going back and forth. But I mean, with Jordan out, like, I don't know who's the guard in that situation. Who's coming in? Natasha Cloud, maybe? Maybe?
Ooh, that's nice. That's nice.
That's even more defense.
Ooh, that's nice. I like that, man. Natasha's proven herself a lot, man.
Yeah.
It'll be hard seeing her leave Washington, man, but I mean, who knows, man? Like that's the good thing about free agency is that, you know, you just never know what can happen, man.
Yeah, but I can't wait for it to start moving. I don't think it's going to start moving until this weekend, though.
Probably.
When's the first? A week from now. Yeah, so
literally right after this episode drops, we're going to get all types of news and everything. We're going to be like, oh, my God, bro, it's crazy.
Right.
But I want to ask you this, man. What do you think is next for Candace Nicole Parker? Because I think the world is awaiting to see what she's gonna do. I think she's gonna stay another year. I think for Candace Parker, I think she got some unfinished business. I know that the Aces ended up winning the title, but at least from what I saw after they won the championship, after that game, not saying that she wasn't happy. Because I'm sure that she was, but you can tell, I guess maybe because, you know, she wasn't a big contributor. I mean, obviously she was a contributor off the court, you know, being on the sideline, but obviously not on the court because she was hurt. So I feel like that might give her some motivation, you know, coming into this next season to be healthy and be ready to go. She is an unrestricted free agent. If you ask me, I think she's going to run it back with the Aces, but what do you think?
I think so too. I'm not sure. Like the Aces might pull a trick move and like lure somebody in, like you were, you know, we've been talking about like a Kalani Brown or something like that. And then Candace might, considering all the sponsorships and things that she's has now currently, some of the commercials and stuff she's been in, she's on TNT, she's on NBA TV and stuff like that. Like she has her money line, you know what I mean? Right. So I'm not sure.
I'll be real. Candace is a worker, man. She grinds. She does, man.
She might mess around and take a 50% pay cut or something like that and shock the world. And you know what I mean? Like allow the Aces to do something. But long story short, I see her going back to the Aces because I don't think she would have went over there in the first place. And then to go there and not be a part of it, like a part of the actual action on the floor winning. Right. Also, I think she comes back as well because what championship level athlete wants to go out on the terms of an injury? You want to go out on your own terms.
That's exactly what it is. And that's why I can't see Candace Parker retiring. You know, I know that people are just awaiting. A lot of people are speculating that she is, but you know, she's posted some videos on IG of her working out and everything. So
yeah,
I think she's coming back. I think she still has a little bit left to give. I still think that she still has the passion to play. So I think this year she's hoping to stay healthy. And obviously, you know, obviously with her coming back, I'm sure Becky's probably going to have her on a lot of minutes restriction so that she can so that she can prevent those injuries. But I can definitely see her running it back, because I feel like Candace is going to come back with a vengeance. Because like I said, you know, even though they were able to win a title last year, I don't know if Candace really considers herself a three-time champ. You know, I don't know.
Like, yeah,
that's something that somebody like me or somebody else would have to ask her.
Yeah, because she wasn't on the floor.
Like, exactly.
I think about the Aces winning a title, I don't really got Candace in my head.
You know exactly. What I mean? That's the thing.
And that should be motivation for her.
Right. It's like I said, because I mean she was there, but at least from what I saw, she didn't. I mean, not saying that she wasn't excited about it, but you can tell, like, you know, she wasn't, I guess probably because she wasn't a contributor on the floor. Yeah. Like, she didn't celebrate the way that Asia Everybody did or Sydney Colson or Chelsea Gray did. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna say this too, and this is across all ball. Who started this whole goggles thing with the champagne? Because part of winning a championship is your eyes are supposed to get burnt with the champagne. Like,
that's true. I don't know who did it.
Who started this goggles thing? Like, that's part of the That's part of it. Like, you might not get that burn again, and you already blocking it out. You blocking out an experience that you might not actually get to experience again.
Like, I'm trying to remember, honestly. I don't even remember when it started.
I don't either. I don't either.
I want to say it started last decade. Maybe like 2013.
It was after the Warriors.
The
Warriors won, and I believe they were just champagning. But it started like either right then or the year after. And I don't even think the Cavs like put on goggles and stuff like that, but just across sports, like, no, don't put on the goggles, ladies. I mean, you know, if you feel
that burn,
eyes, fellas, ladies, if you feel for your eyes, fine, fellas, no, bro, like, no, celebrate, bro.
You gotta feel that burn. No, you definitely gotta feel that burn.
Gotta feel the burn.
Nah, like I said, Candace, I don't think Candace is going anywhere. I think she's coming back. I think this year she's going to be more motivated than ever. It's like I said, you know, she only played 18 games last year. Like, people don't realize, you know, that's more than half the regular season. Now that the regular season got 40 games, so you know, she, you know, and look, and let's be honest, you know, when she was on the court, let's be real, nobody was beating Aces.
No,
they started out like, I want to say like 14-1, 15-1, or maybe 16-17-1 or something like that.
Man, I had them going 37-3. At best,
it was up there. It was definitely, I mean, hell, they finished what, 34-6, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it was, I mean, you weren't too far off, honestly, man.
Yeah, but, like, with Candace Parker, bro, like, yeah, man, they were cruising, and they was, you know, throwing all that slander at AJ, and then it was like, oh, Candace hurt, and then AJ was like, oh yeah, 30 ball,
and on top of that, I felt like AJ played better with Candace next to her. I was looking early in the year. I'm like, yo, Asia looks. She might have gotten better. She looks like she's way more polished offensively. And look who she's playing next to on the court, Candace Parker.
She was like super efficient, super primal. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I Candace is coming back. I think she would have announced retirement already. She got way too much other stuff that she could do, theoretically, including being a mother. You know what I mean? But she's coming back for one more year at the very least.
Yeah, that's my assumption. I think possibly two, but if the Aces are to three-peat this year, and Candace is able to celebrate it, you know, based off of playing, I think she does make that announcement maybe like in the post game after that.
Oh, or, damn.
You know, after that championship. I don't know. I mean, that's just my prediction. I don't know. I could be totally wrong.
That would be a good way to go out too.
It would be. It definitely would be. Man. Right, I mean, it would be sad. It would be sad at the same time, but you know, I think Candace has to go out the right way. And like, what other way than a WNBA championship? So, you know, we're almost out of here, man. But before we get out of here, I wanna give you some quick hitters. You know, I'm gonna give you a couple names from the free agency that you think may stay with their team, sign with a new team, or you may not see them play this year.
Okay.
All right, I'll start with, we talked about her. I'll start with a banger, Skylar Diggins-Smith.
I like the Seattle Chaos. I would not mind her going to Chicago, depending on what they decide to do with like Dana Evans' role.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah. And if NECA leaves LA with Jordan Canada wanting out as well, LA is actually a wild card spot if NECA leaves, because suddenly, you know, of course, LA is a spotlight place, period.
Right.
You suddenly that team becomes okay. So let's say they get Cameron Brink, boom. Okay, you get Skylar Diggins Smith to go with all of the shooters, the Samuelson sisters, Lexi, De'Erica. You know what I mean? And make something happen with that. Those are my selections for her.
It's not a bad one. I definitely like Chicago. I don't know why I never thought about Chicago. Like that would be a great move for her. Yeah. I was thinking Atlanta too. I would love to see.
Yeah.
Her in Atlanta next to Ryan and Alicia and Cheyenne and the rest of the crew. What about Shea Petty? What do you possibly see her?
Shea Petty, get away from DT. Anything away from DT is fine. Unless they're going to let her start.
She's coming off of that injury. So.
Oh, not Shea, not Shea. I'm thinking of Shug Sutton.
Shug Sutton, yeah.
Yeah, Shea Petty. Where can she go? I would just say stay put for now.
Okay.
Stay put for another season because things are working over there. You know what I mean? For her. And I'm not sure that she can go to another situation because a lot of other situations are kind of already set. You know what I mean? Like who could utilize her other than like a Washington? I would say Seattle, but their youth is coming up. And then it's just like, what if somebody outplays her and suddenly she's on the bench and only gets playing time if somebody gets hurt? You know what I mean? So
that's true. Yeah.
I would say stay put for one more season. See what happens with DT because you are kind of set up to continue to have your role elevated.
That's true. Now that's true. Yeah. Especially her and Shug Sutton have been incredible, yeah. You know, whenever they are on the floor. So I can definitely agree with that.
Just let DT get out the way and then y'all will be fine after next season for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Alanna Smith. She had a great year.
Man. In Chicago. Great year in Chicago. We should have had a super discussion about her.
Oh my god, yeah. She had a great year in Chicago. Man. Okay.
Shout out to Snap again, because he wants her in Las Vegas, bro.
I wouldn't mind that, honestly.
Man, what?
I wouldn't mind that.
She really stepped up this year and really showed that she's a prominent player. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I'm her, I stay in Chicago, but I'm not sure what they're going to do with Izzy. You know what I mean? Sure. So, because when Izzy comes back, Izzy is like an Aja light to me. Like when she's playing her best, like an Aja super light. Maybe I'm, you know, I don't want people to attack me like she's not an Aja Wilson. Like, no, she's not. But she reminds me of her just when she's on the floor, when she's running. Like sometimes I'm like, wait, is that Aja? Oh no, that's Izzy. You know what I mean? Just the resemblance on the floor sometimes just reminds me of Aja. And I don't know what they're going to do with the both of them because I don't think either of them can play center. You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's true.
It's like they got to make a decision. Or is Izzy willing to come off the bench? Is Alanna Smith willing to come off the bench? Like, which, you know what I mean? Like, so then all of a sudden you got to ask one of them to come off the bench. Right. They're both capable starters. And Alanna Smith was amazing. There's no way I'm not starting her going forward. So, man, if I'm her, I stay in Chicago and see what Chicago does. Like, maybe give it a little bit of time. And because it's a part of me that's just feeling like Chicago is going to trade Izzy.
That could be a possibility. That could definitely be a possibility. But let me just say, last year or going into last year, I did have some concerns with Chicago's front court with both Atlanta and Elizabeth Williams, just because I felt like they weren't as strong. To go up against, you know, like AT and Bree Jones or Stewie and Jonquel or Asia and Candace. So I would like that was my concern. But they both play well. And Alanna Smith played tremendous basketball. Like she. Who knows? She could have been in the most improved player conversation as well. You know, if Chicago may have been a little bit better. Ariel Powers, because I feel like she's
Ariel gonna be out of Minnesota. Powers.
I think she's gonna be out of Minnesota.
She is, but I know some people that are close to her. And I just want to send the shout out again.
Yeah, definitely our prayers.
Her mother had successful brain surgery on the tumor. Oh, yeah, that's true. They 100% removed it. I seen the short. It came right to my phone.
That's right.
On her YouTube channel, the short came directly to my phone. And I just want to, you know, say thank God for that. And I appreciate
100%
her sharing that story with us and us being a part of it. Everybody who helped donate and did their thing to help her mother, you know, with her health situation. And then it just made it like shocked me, because it's just like, you don't have to hear an NBA player saying, oh, I need you to help me raise money for a family member, because they're just millions. They are rookie millionaires. You know what I mean? And the women are, you know, you look at Ariel and she's making whatever she's making, and it might not be enough to, you know what I'm saying? Like, just flat out, oh, I got you, mom. You know what I mean?
And exactly.
I'll take that to segue into, please start paying these women, because they do the same thing that the men do.
Exactly. Pay the women, give them charter flights.
Yep.
All of that, man. These are professionals we talking about.
Right. So they play half of the games. So where's half of that salary? You know what I'm saying? Exactly. But they don't generate. Man, I care more about NCAA women's basketball. I care about the WNBA because it's competitive. You know what I mean? Like, let's stop the nonsense, man. Let's be human about it. But let me go ahead and dial it back. Ariel Powers. I like the idea of her, depending on what happens with LA. I wouldn't mind seeing her in LA. I wouldn't mind seeing her in Seattle. And if, depending on what comes back for EDD, and depending on if they keep Natasha,
I was gonna say them too.
Yeah, I would love to, because I want her to go somewhere where she will have the ability to shine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to kind of step into a bigger role. And see if she can fulfill that, because I think she's capable. You know what I mean? Like, she has the passion, the like fire in her to be able to, I think, rise to that next level, because she was taking a lot of stuff in Minnesota kind of personal. But when she got on the floor, what did we see? We seen her produce.
She hooped.
So I think she will take that passion and fire. And if she's gifted with a higher level or a higher role, that she's going to show up.
I agree. I definitely agree. Yeah, I don't know the full details about, you know, the personal relationship with her and Cheryl Reeve or whatever, but you could tell throughout the season, like, you know, the writing was on the wall that it was time to go.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, you know what? Like, this is definitely going to be it for her in Minnesota. But even in her small frame of minutes, you know, she was able to produce at a high level, like you said, especially offensively. So I could definitely see her being moved anywhere. I like Washington a lot. And it's like you say, you know, like if they're able to keep everybody together and continue to elevate that team as playoff contenders, you know, having a player like Ariel Powers as your wing is huge. Yeah. Is really, really huge. But yeah, that's something that I could definitely see as well. Last one before we get out of here, Tiana Hawkins.
Ooh, that's left field. Go ahead. Tiana Hawkins. I'm not sure if the Aces are going to keep Kia. That's I don't know.
Yeah, she's a free agent as well.
Yeah, she is. And if she leaves, I would sign Tiana. I would. I'm trying to think of where else I could see her realistically, other than just staying put, really, because she showed up like. You know what I mean? Like, people was like, oh, I start paying attention to her when people were like, or I start like kind of really like honing in on her over the course of the season, when people were like, oh, she's been inefficient. And it's just like from that point on that they said that she just kind of was like always producing in her minutes and everything, and always being like a pretty good like producer on the floor. You know what I mean? Like helping her team win and the wins that they did get. And it's just like, I don't know that I let her go, especially if...
If you're Washington, you got to find a way.
If EDD's gone, I'm keeping her.
Facts.
She can't go nowhere. Like, because suddenly we become desolate at that position? Like, nah. We become desolate in the bigs? Like, nah. We got Shakira, but she has to work herself back into game form. And then, yeah, then EDD is gone. Like, nah, man, we can't do all that.
That's a fact. I loved her production last year. Like, it was huge last year. And it played a role, obviously, you know, for them getting to the playoffs. So Tiana Hawk has got to stay, if you ask me. Like, I mean, obviously, there are some other destinations for her, but you know, I think Washington is the best destination for her to continue to elevate as a player. But that's gonna wrap things up, bro. I appreciate you for coming on, man. Let the people know where to find you, and make sure to check out the 6 podcasts of the year.
We slowly getting back live. We just did a pod Sunday. But y'all can just follow us at 6 Podcasts of the Year, just spelt all the way out. You can find me at opinionated_MJ on Twitter. Opinionated.media. It's a website. It is. It's not .com. It's not .com. It's a lot of stuff on there. A lot of pretty much everywhere, wherever I'm at. Like, you know, I'm gonna put this episode up on there too. Like, whatever I'm a part of, I post there because that's my site. And I mean, I do got the Opinionated Basketball Minds on Facebook. It's like it's my business page, actually. I got 12,000 followers
at this point.
I've been getting back to it. So, you know, you can follow me there if you want to just see me share all types of stuff that comes to my phone, all the notifications, whatever. But make sure y'all follow For the Love of the Game and the boy Nick, because he's covering everything, bro. Like, thanks. women's college, men's college, NBA, WNBA, you name it.
Nah, that's a fact, man. I'm tired, man. I'm watching a little bit of everything.
I was wondering, like, this he covered everything, because I just seen you do the men's college. I'm like, so, and then I seen the women's before that. I'm like, so how many games does he watch? How many TVs he got in there? But make sure y'all follow Nick, man. He's one of the ones.
I appreciate that for sure, man. But definitely make sure to tune in everything my guy MJ got going on. Make sure to follow us at 11TGB Ball. Follow myself at Nick Andre ATR. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen. Apple, Spotify, you name it. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. And until next time, y'all, deuces.
Deuces.